Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah 55, we want to read verses 1 through 3. This is a real commonly known portion of the Word of God. A lot of people that study their Bibles much at all know about this, and I think there's been a lot of sermons preached from it over the years, and I may have preached a sermon or so about over this portion of Scripture in my past history. I don't remember for sure that I have, but I think I have. But today we want to look at verses 1 through 3 of Isaiah 55, and we want to preach to you on the subject of the invitation from God. The Bible says here, and this is the Lord speaking, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend the money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Now we find in these verses here one of the most broad, clear, and open invitations from God about eternal things, about salvation and the blessings of God that we find anywhere in the Old Testament. It's so clear, it's so open, it's so plain that you'd almost expect that natural men, without any new birth, without any help from the Holy Spirit, that just carnal men could read this and understand it. We know that's not true, but it's so plain that we're tempted to think that could happen. And then there's no doubt in these verses that the Lord intends this to be a plain offer to human beings to consider eternal blessings from a perspective that every human creature, I would think, can reasonably identify with. Even if you're here today and lost and you read this, when the Lord uses the symbolism and starts talking about water or waters and talks about milk and talks about wine, things that can be consumed, you can identify with those because every one of us eat and drink every day. And we're all water conscious. I mean, we know that without water we can't live. And you can go 12 to 23 days or something like that without food, without any adverse effects happening. But you come to the end of the road pretty quick if you go without water, because dehydration will take care of you pretty quick without water. And so we're conscious of water and food. And God speaks to us here about spiritual things using a kind of symbolism or analogy from the perspective of things to eat and drink. He speaks of eating things that satisfy, and he speaks of drinking water to quench thirst. And he speaks of getting these things without having to buy them. Now, everybody that pays their water bill or goes to the grocery can certainly appreciate the concept, the idea of getting water free and not having to pay for your groceries. And that appeals to the carnal man. So on a plane that I hope you'll understand, the Lord literally here makes a broad and open invitation to people that without any salvation at all, if you're here and lost, and you look at this, I think you'll be able to understand the concept God's setting forth. Now I know that you don't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to you, and you can't discern them because they're spiritually discerned if you're lost. But you can certainly understand God's invitation to come to waters that are somewhere. He doesn't expressly say where they're at right here in this first verse. And drink to quench your thirst. And you can understand Him saying, look, here's a big grocery shelf full of wine and milk. Come and get all that you need and want. And you don't have to pay for it. Just sack it up in the grocery bags and take it home and feed on it. You can understand that without any salvation. Isn't that plain? That's what God does here. And the simplicity of this message makes it possible for us as creatures to use our puny minds to consider that He offers these things and to be able to associate these things with human needs in a way that allows us, if you will, to the comparison He wants us to make. Because the comparison He wants us to make is all about realizing that as waters will quench a strong and powerful thirst, and as good milk and good wine will give satisfaction to the heart, so the things of God, the spiritual things of God, will give satisfaction to the soul, will give fullness and fatness to the soul, will provide for all the needs of the soul. That's what God wants us to understand. So, I want us today to look at God's invitation and see if we're not drawn to appreciate His offer and go away praising Him for this what has to be a wonderful invitation about gifts that are associated with a relationship that we can have with Him. Now, the first thing that I want us to notice as we begin looking at these verses is that the invitation of God is clear and without cost to you. That's the wonderful thing about salvation and all the benefits that come from salvation to us as God's people. It's without cost to us. We don't have to pay a single penny. Now, it's totally free, and all we have to do is reach out and take it. And you know something? That invitation from God to lost sinners is exactly the same way. God isn't asking sinners today, hey, you've got to pay something if you're going to get this. The first thing we realize is that it's priceless, so you couldn't pay for it. If you took all the wealth of the world and put it in a big pile and said, here, God, here's my payment for this wonderful blessing that you're talking about in Isaiah here. God would say, can't be bought with that stuff. You don't have enough wealth. If you gave the whole globe here and everything on it, every ounce of gold, every diamond that's cut, every diamond that's in the ground, every barrel of oil, everything that's of worth any value at all, you can't take it all and pay for the blessings that I'm offering here when I say, come to the waters and drink freely. Buy what you need without money and without price and be filled and fattened on it. Can't pay for it. So it's without cost to us as God's people. But there's something else in this that I want you to notice. And that is that this invitation is to the thirsty. Did you notice that when we read it? Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Everyone that thirsteth. That's an important point here. And the reason it's important is that any group of people that gathers anywhere in the world, and that includes here at Harmony Baptist Church, there's probably some who are not thirsty for what God's talking about. They're not thirsty for this that God is speaking of. You know, the medical experts tell us that there are certain brain damages, certain brain conditions, certain brain diseases that humans can get that causes them to lose the sense of thirst. And it results in death pretty fast if somebody doesn't catch on to the fact that, hey, here this person has lost the sense of thirst. And so they're never drinking. But people do that. They can get a brain condition that causes them to lose the sense of thirst. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Today, in their natural state, and this has been the way it has been since Adam was cast out of the garden, human beings have contracted a brain disease that has caused them to lose the sense of spiritual thirst. You might say, well, I thirst after those things. You do because you're born again. And when you come to thirsting, know this. As a human being, when you come to thirsting after the things of God, God's done something for you. God's touched you in a way that He's not touched the carnal man that's still lost and undone. He's touched you in a way, and He's starting a work in you because you have a brain condition, a disease of the brain that you got from Daddy Adam, in which you've lost the sense of thirst for spiritual things. I've lost it. You've lost it. We've all lost it. God can give it back, but man is in that condition. So in the spiritual world, human beings have suffered a brain injury. That brain injury is called death by sin. And that brain injury has caused them to lose the sense of spiritual thirst. But to those that have come to have a thirst after something spiritual, this is the invitation to them. Now, us as preachers are not bidden to go around looking and find somebody who's hungering and thirsting after spiritual things and preach only to them. The gospel dispensation, the gospel commandment is for us to preach to every creature the gospel of Christ. And God will do the restoring of the sense of thirst as the preaching of the gospel occurs. And so we boldly preach to everybody, ho, come to the waters that God is offering and drink freely of those waters and quench the thirst. Come and buy without money and without price the needs that you have for your soul. We can do that. Now, we could talk all the rest of the day about how people come to gain their thirst back. We that have experienced the movement of the Lord Jesus Christ in our souls by the Holy Spirit know all about that thing that's happened, how that we were just without any sensitivity at all about spiritual things, and God got hold of us by the Spirit and came into our beings. And after that time, we couldn't rest. We were restless. We were thirsty for something from God. We didn't even know what it was at the time. We didn't know spiritual water from spiritual mud. But God dealt with us and brought us to understand that everything we needed to quench that thirst was alive in the Lord Jesus Christ and brought us to the foot of the cross. And so we came alive and gained that thirst, and by that we came to understand where the quenching of that thirst could occur. But we don't want to talk about that. We want to address this to anybody here that might be here and be thirsty in the sense that God means it here, but have not yet come to the waters to drink. This is an invitation that God has given to come and quench a spiritual thirst. And if you have one today, the recipe lies here in the written words of Isaiah as the Spirit of God led him to write. Now, notice that the invitation points, first of all, to the waters. And I want to say clearly that the waters represent the blessings of God, especially the blessings of God that are associated with salvation in Jesus Christ. Because as Brother James pointed out this morning in the Sunday school lesson, lost people are blessed of God. They receive blessings from God. I mean, they as he said, they eat his food and drink his water and live off his land. And so they receive blessings from God. But we're talking about spiritual blessings that come in and through Jesus Christ. And those things we can get because God brings us to it. And this invitation points to the waters that are the blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to the book of Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 6, I want to show you something about these waters and who they're prepared for, because this is a wonderful truth. You find here in Isaiah 35 and verse 6 that God teaches us that the waters are prepared for the spiritual cripple. The spiritual cripple is going to be the recipient and is the recipient of the waters that God talks about. Here he says, "Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." Listen, we're in a wilderness here. We live in a wilderness called earth. And every one of us that have ever been saved by the grace of God know that in fact we were spiritual cripples when God came to us. We had nothing. We couldn't get up and walk on our own. But God, the amazing work of God, wrought in us the ability to rise up and leap. A leap as the lame man leaps in Isaiah 35:6. Leap as the hart. We notice also that this water is for those who have lost the ability to speak of spiritual things. Because God says there, the tongue of the dumb will sing. That's what happens when we drink of the waters for which we thirst, because God has brought us to that place. So the waters are prepared for the spiritual cripple, the soul that's been silenced concerning spiritual things, the soul that cannot do any spiritual walking. These waters are also prepared for the chosen of the Lord that live in a dry and thirsty world. And in Isaiah 43, he tells us that. In Isaiah 43 and verse 20, he says, "The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen." So the chosen people of God are to be the recipients of this water that God talks about here. This water for everyone that thirsts. Now, you'll remember that the children of Israel received the waters from the rock everywhere they went. The Bible teaches us that that rock followed them. But I want to remind all of us something. And you know this. You know it because you serve the living Christ. But I want to remind you of this so that if there's any here and lost that haven't come to this realization about the waters of God, they will be able to come to it. And that is, as the children of Israel went through the wilderness and drank that water every day that came from the rock, they stayed alive as a result of the water that came out of the rock. But the waters were not the source. They were the production of the source. And that rock that followed them was Christ. It's wonderful to have the blessings of God with us today, but we don't want to ever forget that the waters of God flow from the living rock. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. All we have is from Christ. And if you're here today and lost, all you will ever have in the way of meaningful things will either come from Christ or you won't have it. You won't have it at all. So the invitation of God is clear and without cost, and it points to the waters and to the wine and to the milk, and it all comes from God. And as I said, the invitation is to purchase what's needed without spending your money, to get what's to be had without a price on your part, because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price. Now, secondly, as we look at these verses, we notice that there are things which stand in the way of accepting that invitation. People have things that stand in their way of accepting that invitation, and those things that stand in the way of accepting God's invitation are all known to God. Look at how he says this in verse 2. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" We see in these verses, although they're couched in Hebrew phrases, we see that God is telling us that it is the spiritual spending habits of human beings that stand in the way of coming to God for the spiritual blessings that are to be had in Christ. The spiritual spending habits of human beings. If you're here today and lost, I can tell you why you're still lost this morning. You're lost because your spiritual spending habits are such that you're spending every way but toward God. Everything of your life is about something else that has its place, its time, its focus on this earth. Everything that you're doing is earth-focused and not heaven-focused. It is human-focused and self-focused and not God-focused. And that's what God's telling us. Because He says here very plainly, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" He's not talking about taking your $15 and going down here and buying junk food at Walmart. He's not talking about that. He's talking about spending the things that you have as a human being, the human or carnal or physical wealth as a creature of God, the wealth that God has given you, the brain that you have, the energy of your body, the acts of your life, spending them for things that are not bread. And He's not talking about a loaf of bunny bread. He's talking about the bread of God. He versus the bread, or what you're calling bread, that you're spending your abilities, your time, your talents upon. That's what God's talking about. And so it's the spiritual spending habits of human creatures that keep them back from listening to God and receiving and understanding and accepting that invitation from God to come to the waters that He's prepared and drink freely. Come to His grocery store and get what you need freely without price. And quit spending your human capital on bread that is not bread. So the first problem that stands in the way of accepting the invitation from God is this spiritual spending habit that humans have. Thirst of a kind, and that thirst is a thirst for carnal things, for worldly things, for pursuit of self and self-satisfaction, for pursuit of the things that have a gratification here on earth in the now. And those things end in death. I want to warn you that those things end in hell, because every one of those things will be burned in the lake of fire beside you if you pursue them, spending the money that God gave you for the bread that is not bread upon this earth. You lay there in hell and burn. That you bought with the money that God gave you. And I'm talking about the human possessions of mind and abilities, health and strength, even dollars and cents that God gave you, you spend on carnal pursuits, they will be burned up and never burn, because they'll be in your brain forever in hell as a result of you deciding that, oh, I'm going to spend my whole life, I'm going to ignore this invitation from God, and I'm just going to live for myself and have a big old time. They've actually developed a word for that. I don't know if any of you have heard it. Probably have. It's called hedonism. And it just means live for the good old life on earth. Live for the moment. Seek and grasp every pleasure you can. Take no thought for things eternal. And so many people today are doing that. and they're headed down that road, and because they are, they're rejecting the invitation from God. It's one of those things that builds the barrier between the Adamic creature and his God. Let me just say this to you, if you're here this morning and lost. God is your God, and you are his creature. You can't get around that, regardless of how you do. You cannot escape the fact that you were created of God. God made you. You are his own, his possession. You might think, well, just the people of God are God's possession. No. He owns everything that he's ever created. And he owns you. And if you're lost without Christ today, if you've rejected this, such an open invitation from God, one day very soon you're going to stand in the presence of God, or you're going to kneel prostrate on your face in the presence of God, and you're going to have to own that, yes, God, you owned me. And God's going to say to you, yeah, I owned you, but you wasn't worth nothing to me. You're not worth anything to me now. Depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, I know that's a stark and unpopular truth that people don't like to hear, but it's the reality of the moment, my friend. And every one of us need to learn that the quicker the better. I want to tell you something. Part and parcel of what caused me to reach up by the power of the invigorating force of the regenerating Spirit of God and grasp the hand of Christ was not just knowing the saving power of Christ, but knowing that Christ could save me from an eternal devil's hell. They're composite. They're together. You can't know one without knowing the other. Last point in our text. The pathway and the outcome of accepting the invitation from God is made known to mankind in these verses. Notice in the last part of verse 2 and in verse 3, God gives us an outline of the pathway. He says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. There's the recipe for how to respond to God. That's the pathway to get to God. The first thing is hearken. Now, that's more than hearing, my friends. The Hebrew word for that that was translated hearken is a word that to the Jew would mean listen intelligently. Every one of you here have a brain. Now, if you're hearing lost, I want to ask you just a minute to use that brain to listen to what God gave us in this book. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. You can understand that. You do that every week, as I said at the start. You drink and you eat. God's talking here about a spiritual thing. And so, hearken diligently to the message of God. What is God saying to us this morning? He's saying, come to me and drink and eat free and never thirst and never come in need of spiritual things. Be filled forevermore. That's what God is saying for us to be hearkening diligently to. So that's the pathway. First of all, hearken diligently. Hear intelligently what God is saying to us this morning. And then He says, incline your ear. He says, incline your ear and come unto me. That Hebrew word for incline your ear would give you a visual image, a picture, a word picture of this. That's what that does, that word does in the Hebrew. Stretching oneself forward and listening directly toward God. Listen to God. Hearken to God. Incline your ear toward God and come to God. I have never, and eternity is going to prove that there never was a case of this, I have never known of a human being who came to God that ever got turned away. And you never will know one. When we come unto Christ, come unto God through Christ, Christ receives us, and He saves us, and He reconciles us unto God, and He makes us what we need to be by the power of His regenerating Spirit. So the pathway is to incline your ear, is to hearken diligently, to hear intelligently, and to bend toward God, and then come to God. And notice what he sums it up with. He says, hear, and your soul shall live. If you're here today and lost, there's a reality I don't know if you know about. And that is that your soul is dead. And a dead soul will never have a place in heaven. A dead soul will only go to one place. And that's